You're listening to SBS News.
The Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development sets the relative poverty line at 60% of the national median income. That's the level used by the Australian Council of Trade Unions to calculate a living wage that they say will ensure workers are not living in poverty. Applying that formula to the current minimum wage in Australia of $18.93 an hour, or 54% of the national median salary, would deliver a windfall to the lowest paid. Under the ACTU's submission to the Fair Work Commission's annual review of the minimum wage, it would be phased in over 2 years. The minimum wage would rise by 6% this year to $20.07 an hour, followed by 5.5% next year to $21.17 an hour. That's the equivalent of an extra $72.80 a week over 2 years. While senior researcher at Melbourne University's Centre for Workplace Leadership, Josh Healy, says that's the most straightforward formula, it's not the most accurate way to determine what someone needs to avoid poverty. Mr. Healy told SBS News the amount doesn't consider the various makeup of families.
What a particular kind of worker who lives on their own needs to escape poverty in terms of a monetary amount is going to be a lot less than what the same worker, if they had a spouse and a couple of kids, would need to be as economically secure, if you like.
It also doesn't factor in other sources of household income, such as welfare benefits, or if one spouse is earning significantly more. Mr. Healy also points out it's far from a poverty fix.
It's never going to be a pure poverty fix because the poorest people tend not to work. The very poorest are, you know, much more socially disadvantaged and excluded from the labour market. So what this is about is alleviating in-work poverty or working poverty or the working poor.
Opposition leader Bill Shorten has declared the minimum wage should be a living wage, but has balked at the union's figure of 60% of the national median wage.
Labor will outline more of our approach on the minimum wage in coming days. We're not committing to a particular number, and whilst the unions are entitled to make a claim they see fit, that's not our position. But where we have a common position is that the minimum wage should be higher than what it is now.
Labor has yet to detail how it would deliver its version of a living wage, but has flagged legislative changes. University of Adelaide employment law professor Andrew Stewart said Labor isn't suggesting the independent umpire's powers be overridden by the government. Instead, he predicted Labor would tweak the industrial laws to encourage the commission to aim for a living wage and put more emphasis on the needs of workers and less on the needs of business.
Either way, I think it's clear that there's going to be no suggestion of trying to get from where we are now to a living wage target in a single go.
The Australian Greens have vowed to go further and move to amend legislation in the next parliamentary sitting to ensure the minimum wage is at least 60% of the median. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has warned of significant job losses if Bill Shorten's plan to legislate for a living wage is successful.
Bill Shorten needs to come clear about this. What is he exactly proposing here? Because what it sounds like to me at the moment is he's going to force small and family businesses all around the country to sack people in order to possibly give some others a few more dollars.
That rhetoric echoes the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, the Business Council of Australia and Australian Industry Group, who are all arguing for much more modest increases to the basic wage. One industry group is even calling for a freeze on wage rises. Restaurant and Catering Australia says the 45,000 businesses it represents, the majority of which are owner-operator ventures, cannot afford to pass on another pay rise. Increases to the minimum wage in the last 2 years have been above inflation, which CEO Juliana Payne says has already forced businesses to tighten their belts.
It's very difficult for them because every increase means that they either have to put up their prices for their customers or they need to pay themselves less because if they can't put their prices up because it's very competitive, they just need to take home less money themselves because they need to pay the staff first.
But Professor Andrew Stewart says he's heard it all before.
Business groups have a pretty sorry track record when it comes to minimum wages. Every single year without fail, they argue that the sky is going to fall in if if wages increase significantly. And there's always the prediction that, oh, if we get a minimum wage rise of a certain amount, this is going to cost jobs.
Professor Stewart believes the opposition has successfully tapped into a feeling in the community that they're not benefiting from the relatively strong economy.
If it can continue to frame the next election as being about wages, I think that's going to work very well for it, not just because it's territory that it's more comfortable on than the Liberal and National parties, but also because quite genuinely I do think there's a sense out there in the community that there's something going wrong.
But the alarm from employer groups and warnings of job losses could convince other voters to back the coalition. Rosemary Bolger, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.